Let's pray. Let's ask for God's help as we come to his word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please teach us now as we look at the passage in Romans. Father, please help us to understand it and help us to live it out. Amen. A couple of things to say before we get into Romans 12. First is thank you, Brian, for what you just said. Your £5 will come to you later on. Thank you for what you said about the Bible teaching. And also to say, do have a look at the... We've now got a home group notice board, which thank you to Walpoles and Wileys for putting that together, photos and that sort of thing. And that shows you, if you forget who all the home group leaders were up here, that shows you on that board who all the home group leaders are. And the mission board, now we've got a mission board on the other side. And thank you, Brian, for putting that on the wall, and thank you, Jen, for doing that. So as you go out of here, as you go out through those doors, home group board on one side, mission board on the other, have a look at those and see what they're about. So we're going to be looking at the Romans 12 passage. So please do turn that up again if you've lost that. So page 1139, just those two verses at the beginning of Romans chapter 12. And we're thinking this morning, as we've said, about our mission statement. We've already said what our mission statement is. But here we go, just as a reminder. Our aim is for people to come to Jesus. We thought about that a couple of weeks ago. Grow in him, thought about that last week. And, finally, and go out to serve him. So like we said, it's that going out sort of feeling. It's not just in thinking about going out to serve Jesus. We're not just talking about those who go abroad as missionaries to go out. We're talking about every one of us, whether you're at school, whether you're at work, whether you're with family, whether you're at home, whatever you're doing, our task, each one of us, if we're Christians, is to go out to serve Jesus. And we're also thinking about home groups. And I said what our aim for home groups was, which is this: supporting one another in knowing Jesus and living for him every day. And I hope you can see how the two fit together. That they are both saying, actually, what we want is we want to be going out there and living for Jesus every day. Going out and serving him. And that's what we want our home groups to be helping us to do. And we see that in these verses in Romans chapter 12. You see, there's a command in those verses. Did you see the command in verse 1? It says, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. That is a command which is saying, Paul is saying, I am commanding you to go out and be a living sacrifice. Every day. Not just on Sundays, but a living sacrifice. Every day, every moment of the day, devoted to God. Wherever you are. And we're going to think about three questions, or three points in relation to this. First, what's the foundation of the command? Second, what's the extent of the command? And third, how are we to do it? So, first off, what's the foundation of the command? And you see in the verse that the foundation of this command is God's mercy. So it says, verse 1 there, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy. Now we must have God's mercy as the basis for living a life devoted to Jesus. It completely transforms the way we go about doing it. It transforms the way we go about living for Jesus every day if we've got God's mercy as the foundation. The temptation is, and many Christians do this, is to draw in another idea about living for God. And it's this kind of idea. Imagine if you and I were to live in a culture where we worshipped an idol. Where we worshipped an idol. Maybe it's the God of prosperity. And we worship this God. And what we would do is we would take sacrifices to this God. So maybe you take an animal and you sacrifice it to the God of prosperity. And you go and you do this maybe every week, I don't know. And you sacrifice the animal. What's the contract that you're kind of entering into with that idol? The contract is this. I sacrifice for that God and try to win that God round to me. To give me favour so that my crops grow, so that my business does well, so that my family increases, so that we're prosperous, so that we have money. The deal is this. I want to get that God on my side, so I will sacrifice something, and then I will get that God to give me prosperity. Now, people take that thinking into Christianity. It's not Christian thinking at all. But people take that thinking into Christianity, not explicitly, not by killing an animal, but people will often think, if I do good, if I do good things, if I give to charity, if I'm generally a nice person, then God will like me. I'll kind of win God round onto my side. And therefore, life ought to be good. Life ought to be easy. And I ought to go to heaven. Good people go to heaven, we think. And it's sort of a contract that we kind of think we enter into with God, but we don't make it explicitly. And we think, I'll do my bit, I'll be good, and you owe me. God, you're indebted to me, and you owe me a good life and heaven afterwards. Now, like I say, we don't think about this explicitly, but often people do think like this, and you can tell, because if things start going badly in someone's life, and they've lived like this, often those people will get really, really upset with God. Because the thinking will be, but I've done all these things. I've done my bit. And God, you owe me. Why aren't I having a good time? Why aren't I having an easy time? But this verse says, in view of God's mercy. Therefore, brothers, in view of God's mercy. That takes us back into the opening chapters. Well, the first 11 chapters of the book of Romans. And says, look, think back over all those chapters. And what do those chapters say? Those chapters say, right at the beginning, they say, we are not in a position where we are looking to God to bless us. Far from it. Chapters 1 to 3 say, no, we have rejected God. We've turned away from the living God, and we have replaced him with all sorts of other things. And we rightly deserve God's anger. But God, you see in chapter 3 of Romans, didn't leave us in that position. He made it possible for us to be made right with him. And as you know, if you've been coming along to Emmanuel for any length of time, you know that that solution is the Lord Jesus. That God sent his Son to die for us, to take our place, to be our substitute, as we heard earlier, the super substitute. And God has lavished on us mercy. We deserve his anger, but he sent his Son. We deserve his anger, but he sent his love and shown his love by sending his Son so that we can become children of God, so that we can be justified, so that we can come to God. God has lavished on us his mercy and his grace and his riches. And therefore, God owes us nothing. God isn't indebted to us. Far the opposite. We are indebted to God in a way where we couldn't possibly pay him back, and God wouldn't expect us to. And we need to realize, us giving ourselves, giving our lives to God, being a living sacrifice, has got to be on the basis of that mercy. And that transforms the way that we live for God. How? Well, if we've got God's mercy in place, we will say, right, I want to live for God, and I will be generous, and it will be unlimited, and it won't be grudging, my service of God, because I know all that he has done for me. But if God's mercy isn't in place in our thinking and in our hearts, then we'll kind of give to God, but it'll probably be a kind of grudging giving to God. It'll be limited, and it won't be generous. So, we've got to have God's mercy in place. That is the foundation of this command. Second, the extent of the command. Well, the extent of the command is everything, isn't it? It's total. It is completely giving your life over to God. That's what it means when it says, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. This isn't just a part of you. This is you being given over to God. every minute of every day as a living sacrifice. Obviously, you've got the Old Testament imagery there of sacrifices in the Old Testament where people would bring animals to God. And in the New Testament, you might think, well, where are the sacrifices? Well, Jesus has been our sacrifice. Well, yes, that's true, but is that the only sacrifice? Ah, no. There's another sacrifice that's to be given. You. You are to be the sacrifice. And me. A living sacrifice. So not a dead sacrifice, but a living one. And it describes that sacrifice as well. To offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy. What does holy mean? Holy means set apart for God, belonging to God. So you are to belong to God and pleasing to God. That is what we are to be. And how does Paul describe this? End of verse 1. This is your spiritual act of worship. What is worship? What is it? It's you and me living every day as living sacrifices. Which is why I'm always slightly edgy about it when people say that they come here to worship. Yes, we do worship God here. Of course we do. But you don't just worship God here. You worship God. You're to worship God the rest of the week as well. It would be a bit like saying, we come here to breathe. Can you imagine at the beginning of the service, saying, welcome to our time of breathing. Thank you so much for coming along. Great to have you with us for this time of breathing. We're going to introduce our breathing leader now. Breathing Brian, would you? No, of course you wouldn't do that. Of course you breathe when you're here, but you breathe when you're not here as well. And the danger is, if we call this a time of worship, it sort of it just limits it. It means this is the time of worship, but the rest of the week isn't. But of course the rest of the week is worship. The whole of our lives are to be worship. And this breaks down a divide which subtly most of us will have in our thinking. And it is a divide which Mark Green at the London Institute for Contemporary Christianity, he calls it this. This divide is like a virus. It pervades the church and pretty much everyone I know has had it and is a carrier. I've had it, and I struggle against it all the time. What is this divide? It's the sacred-secular divide. Let me see if I can illustrate it in this way. I'm going to ask you two questions. First question is this. How do you serve God? Just think, what's the first thing that comes to your mind when you say, how do you serve God? Well, it could be all kinds of things that come to your mind. How do you serve God? Second question. What do you do most of the time during the week? What do you spend most of your week doing? Okay, got those two things in mind? Now, why is it that for most of us, those two things are going to be different things? So when I say, how do you serve God? Well, probably, I don't know what you thought of, but probably lots of people thought, well, I come to church, maybe. I read my Bible, maybe. Or I do this bit of charity. Maybe I help with the night shelters when they're on. Or I don't know, all kinds of things. Coffee roaster, do warden, I'm a home group leader, I'm a whatever. So those are the things that we might think of where we say, yeah, I serve God in those ways. What do I do most of the week? Well, it could be all kinds of things. Maybe you're at school. Maybe you're at work with family. Whatever it is. And you spend most of your week doing that. Now, do you see, we've separated out there, haven't we? You say, well, there's the sacred things, the things that God's really interested in. Sunday mornings, very interested in that. God must be awake a lot on Sunday morning because he's very interested in that. Or when I'm reading my Bible, or when I'm doing this, or whatever. And then I've got the secular things that I do, everything else that I do, shopping, collecting the kids from school, going and visiting grandchildren, being with elderly parents, or whatever it is, those sorts of things. And they're the secular things, and God's not that interested in those things. He's more interested in these other things over here. But Paul is saying here, no, live as living sacrifices, every part of your life, not just these bits over here, but these bits too. And it doesn't downplay the sacred things, or the things we think of as sacred. Rather, it takes everything and lumps them over all in the sacred side and says, they're all important to God. Every bit of it's important to God. Live it all as a living sacrifice. You see, worship is being a living sacrifice, not just on Sundays, for every part of our lives. And this isn't just for the King Christians, this is for all Christians, whatever your age, whatever your stage. This is for you. And this is why our home groups are to support one another in knowing Jesus and living for him every day. And why our Sunday services are to help with this as well. We need to help one another to live for Jesus every day. In the family, in the workplace, at school, we need to help one another live for Jesus. Okay, and last point. How are we to do it? Not conformed, but transformed. That's where you get to verse 2. Let's just have a look at that verse again. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. See, we might well be thinking, well, it's all very well saying live as a living sacrifice, but when I get up tomorrow morning, get on the train, go to work, am at work, what difference is this actually going to make? Well, what difference actually is it going to make to be a living sacrifice when you go and pick up the kids from school? What difference does it make? It's a great question to ask. How are you going to know? Where are you going to look? Well, the first thing it says in verse 2 there is, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. So living for Jesus is going to be saying, I'm not going to be like the world. I'm not going to let the world squash me into its mould. But rather, to be transformed. But how? It says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Interesting there. Paul is saying, actually, the mind is really important. So I said earlier, home groups are not just to be about information. And that's right. But there must be information. You've got to grow in your knowledge. We've got to be transformed in our minds. Our minds are really important. How are you going to know how to live for Jesus every day? Well, you've got to know it, haven't you? You've got to have your mind transformed, your mind renewed. And how's that going to happen? Well, Paul doesn't explicitly say in these verses. But as you read elsewhere, you see, it's the work of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? To transform us. Everyone who follows Jesus has the Spirit in them. It's the work of the Spirit as we read the Word of God. As we come to the Bible, we need to pray for God to renew our minds, to change us, to transform our thinking, so that as we read the Bible, we will know how to live for God. You see, knowing how to live for Christ doesn't come automatically, and it's not an instant thing. It's something you've got to grow in. Let me give you a bit of Greek grammar. I know just saying that has thrilled you, hasn't it? But anyway, the tenses of the verbs. In Greek, you can express in a command whether you expect the command to be something which is just a one-off or whether it's an ongoing. And Paul has done that in these commands. So in verse 2, when it says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. The don't conform and the be transformed, they are ongoing things. So it's saying, don't be conformed and keep on not being conformed. But be transformed and go on being transformed. It's an ongoing process. You're not going to get it in a one-off. You've got to keep working at it. You've got to keep coming back to the Bible. Keep praying for God to open up your eyes and to be shaping you and me. And this is why we need home groups, need small groups to help one another with this. Because on a Sunday morning, we're not saying Sunday mornings are unimportant, they're very important. We're not going over to a cell church model where all you have is the small groups. We think it's really important to meet on Sunday. It's essential that we meet on a Sunday, that we gather together like this and sit under the Word of God and ask for God to open up our hearts and to transform our minds. But you can't then, at the end of a Sunday, so we could try it one time, but you can't then necessarily get the mic and get it around going to everyone and say, right, so what difference is this going to make to you, Andy and Joan? What difference is this going to make each one of us this week? You'd need another service on the end of our current one, wouldn't you? Well, we're not going to do that. But in home groups, you can do that. You can say to one another, look, how are we going to live this out? How are we going to be transformed? And furthermore, you can gently and lovingly hold one another accountable on this. So you can say to one another, look guys, I know on my own I will wriggle out of applications. Oh, we all do it, don't we? So you read a bit in the Bible, you say, oh well, you know what, I really ought to do this in application, but you know what, I'm quite busy, maybe not this week. Or you just think, yeah, I ought to do that, and then you never think about it again. I do that, you do that, as we read the Bible. And therefore it can be really helpful to have a small group to say, what are we actually going to try and do about this? And then maybe support one another between times, and then next time come back and say, okay guys, how did we do? And, based on God's mercy, you can then say, well look, if we all made a right hallux of it, you come back and you say, isn't it great that we are saved by grace? It is all about God's mercy, but now, come on, let's try and live this out. We've got to try and live this out. You see, we don't want groups which are going to try and encourage being foolish builders. That's why we had the other reading, the wise and foolish builders. What's the difference between the wise builder and the foolish builder? What's the difference between them? Both hear the word of God. Both are the people who are like the wise builder and the foolish builder. They both hear the word of God, but the wise one puts it into practice. See, we can have groups which just encourage being foolish builders. What would they look like? Well, people would gather, they'd read the Word of God, read the Bible, have a great debate, great discussion, come away feeling like we've really chewed that one over and no one does anything. It doesn't make any difference. It doesn't change anyone. No one is transformed by it. We want rather to be wise builders, don't we? And we want our groups to encourage wise builders. We want vision to encourage wise builders, for us to be wise builders, which means saying at the end of a group time, how are we going to live this out? How are we going to obey it? Now, I also want to say, of course, our home groups are great for those who aren't Christians. If you're not a Christian, they would be great for you too, that you can come in and you can ask your questions. And you can see, what does the Bible actually say about being a Christian and how to live it out? But as a group, you won't finish at that point. You'll finish at the point of saying, right, okay, how are we actually going to try and live this out? Okay, I'm going to give you a few moments now just to fill out this form. Let me just go through the form with you. So if you grab the yellow sheet of paper that you were given as you came in, so you each were given one of these yellow sheets of paper. Let me just whiz through it, and then I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to ask you to fill it out. Some of you are already filling it out. Well, that's all right. Okay, so it says, home group feedback form, we'd love you to fill this out. Please tick the box that's most appropriate for you. I'm already in a group and would like to stay there. That shows you're content with that group. I'm in a group but would be willing to move to another group. You see, if lots of people fill this out saying we need a new group, it may be that we ask some people in existing groups to come and form a new group. And so if you're saying, actually, I'd be willing to do that, then feel free to tick that box there. Third one, I'm not in a group and would like to join one. That would be lovely. And fourth, I currently do not wish to be in a home group. We recognise that there are some people for whom, actually, you know what, home groups, they're just not the right place for them. They still want to engage in the Word of God, still want to be held accountable by others, but they just find home groups aren't the place for them. And that's fine, we recognise that. We hope that most people will be involved in home groups, but we do recognise there are some for whom, actually, that's just not the right place for them. Give us your name, contact details, otherwise we won't know how to get in touch with you or who you are. And then also there's that big star there saying, I would like to attend a Christianity Explored course. If that's what you'd like to do, you'd like to go on a Christianity Explored course, and maybe that could become a home group in the future, who knows, sometimes they do, then tick the appropriate one on there, or circle rather the appropriate bit on there. Let me just pray for us, and then you can fill it out. Heavenly Father, thank you for the command in these verses to go and live for Christ, to be living sacrifices. Please would you help us to do this and help us to support one another in doing this too, whether in home groups or elsewhere. But Father, we pray that loads of people now would join the home groups and that they would be great places for supporting one another and living for you. Amen. Go for it. Do fill out the form there. Peter's got a box of pens, so if you need pens, Peter will wander around, and Jonathan, thank you as well, will wander around with pens, and then they will wander around with the baskets as well for collecting them. But please, could everyone fill them out? That would be great.